You're listening to the Missional Marketing Podcast, a show for church leaders, church communications professionals, and ministry volunteers. Our goal is to help your church grow by leveraging digital marketing and effective communications.
If you've got 300 people meeting in an auditorium of 1,000, it feels half empty. It's depressing. But if you've got 300 meeting in a room of 600 seats, or even 200 people, it feels high energy, it feels exciting, there's something happening here. And so, small's the new big. You don't need big rooms.
I'm Bart Blair, and it's my privilege to welcome you to another episode of the Missional Marketing Podcast. We've been producing this podcast for over 5 years, since the year 2020, with the goal of helping churches grow by leveraging digital marketing and effective communications. If you're new to the show, welcome. Glad that you're hanging out with us today. We aim to drop a podcast episode every Friday, and we miss a lot. So my advice to you, if you want some good advice, is to go ahead and pull out your mobile device and subscribe wherever you're listening to this podcast episode today so that you don't miss any future episodes. If you just want to kind of try to tune in on Fridays, you might miss them from time to time. But because you've subscribed, they'll get delivered right to your mobile device and you won't miss any future episodes. I co-host this podcast with the CEO of Missional Marketing, Mr. Jason Hamrock. And it's our privilege to introduce you today to a friend of ours, a relatively recent acquaintance friend of mine, and someone that Jason has actually known for quite a few years, Mr. Jim Tomberlin. Jim Tomberlin is like the OG when it comes to multi-site and multi-campus churches. He's going to share a little bit of his story and a little bit of the history of multi-site churches, as well as talking about how churches are leveraging multi-site campusing, multi-site launches for effective ministry today. So whether you're in a church that's thinking about being a multi-site church or starting new campuses, maybe you're a comms director and you're trying to figure out how to be more effective at communicating these things or even working with your team to navigate the challenging waters of multi-campus ministry, or maybe none of those things apply to you, but you're just a church nerd and you want to learn a little bit more about multi-campus churches, you've come to the right place. So again, thanks again for tuning in to the Missional Marketing Podcast. And here, without any further delay, is Jason Hamrock and our interview with Mr. Jim Tomberlin.
Well, hey, Jim, how are you doing, man? Welcome to the show.
It's great to be with you, Jason. Bart.
Great to have you. Oh, man, you've been good this summer or been busy?
It's been a full summer. It's been a busy summer. A good one.
Yeah, you're up in the Colorado Springs area for our listeners. And so people who are not necessarily familiar with you, why don't you take a minute, just give us your background and tell us a little about Jim, which could take an hour, but try to.
Yeah. Well, hey, no, I live in Colorado Springs. I've been in church ministry for 40 plus years, and had a chance to be one of the early pioneers of the whole multi-site church movement when I was the lead pastor of my church here in Colorado Springs, Woodman Valley Chapel, and gave me the opportunity, invitation to come to Willow Creek in Chicago back in the year 2000 to develop that model there. And while I was there and that was taking off, churches were calling me from around the country. Could we talk to the multi-site guy? Nobody knew who Jim Tomberlin was, but
yeah,
hey, who's this multi-site guy at the church here? And they would say, could you come talk to us about how you do this? Well, that was in the early 2000s. Today, there's over 8,000 multi-site churches. It's not slowing down. And there's been a lot of iterations of this movement, but it's become the new normal. That's one of our first talking points today. And so it's a great privilege to be here with you and to talk more about something I love talking about, what God is doing through the multi-site church model and how it's transformed the church landscape across the nation and around the world now as well.
Yeah. I got to know Jim 20 years ago, a long time ago. He came to our church at Central Christian Church here in Arizona. And at that point, we were thinking we had another campus. We're trying to figure this out. And as a comm director, you got my wheels just spinning. Like, how do you actually scale for something like that to become multi campus? And we paid the stupid tax because we thought, oh, you just double everything, and that's not the answer. You don't just double everything. There's a strategy, and Jim is the expert in how you become a multi site church. He's been doing it for a long, long time. So. It depends if you're an executive pastor, lead pastor, really relevant for you. If you're a comms director, it's through the lens of how do you actually become, and if you are multi-site, how do you function better, more efficiently, more effective as a comms director in a multi-site environment? And there's a lot of things that
to your point, Jason, every team member, every person on the staff of a church that goes multi-site has a role to play and a contribution to make.
Yeah, totally, totally.
My first exposure to Jim, the first time we ever got to hang out together was the three of us were actually at a workshop in Colorado Springs just a month or so ago. So that was my first chance to meet Jim in person. But my first exposure to Jim wasn't related to multi-site. It was related to a book that he wrote with Warren Bird called Better Together, which is about church mergers. And one of these days, I want to have a conversation with Jim on the concept of church mergers, which, you know, in some cases results in multi-site, sometimes not. But that was my first Jim Tarberlin book, and I've been a fan ever since. So different conversation for a different day, but just wanted to throw that out there because he's not just the multi-site guy. I've always considered Jim to be the church mergers guy too. So there you go. Another handle for you.
Well, Bart, it's funny you should say that because that's one of our talking points to this on this interview about mergers are the great opportunity now as a part of the multi-site movement. Really, the kind of mergers we're seeing today was really an outcome of and catalyzed by the multi-site church movement. So it is very much a part of the conversation about multi-site. And so we'll get there in a little while, maybe.
Yeah, I have a lot of questions there because my mind goes crazy when I think about the next 15 or 20 years and churches that are older and that are dying because they're not growing younger, they're growing older, something has to change. And so my thought was always, well, merge with a young growing church, like, you know, really see your legacy continue to be played out while you're still here on earth before you go to heaven. So deeper conversation.
We'll get there.
All right. So the first bullet point, which is such a good one, multi-site is the new normal. Multi-site is the new normal. What do you mean by that? And from your lens, what's that mean?
Well, Jason, my journey with multi-site church began when I was the pastor here in Colorado Springs in the mid-90s. I have a video I often introduce myself with where I'm casting the vision to my church. And I'm standing out in a field with the Pikes Peak behind me, beautiful mountain range, and say, as we approach that, here in 1997, as we approach the 21st century, it's time to think about church in a new way. And so this movement has been around now for about three decades plus for the early pioneers, and it really took off in the turn of the century, in this century. But when we say the new normal, and for like any new idea, the question is it a fad or is it going to become established? Is it going to really become a part of the way churches think and operate today? And so today we would say clearly it's become the new normal. As I mentioned before, we know that 75% of all megachurches, megachurches 2,000 people or more in attendance weekly, 75% of them are multi-site. And this is where this movement began, with megachurches trying to solve a space problem or zoning restriction. That's how I started in the first wave of multi-site churches were megachurches that are trying to solve a space issue. But it very quickly evolved beyond that as a band-aid strategy for a facility or space problem. It became recognized as this could be a more effective way of reaching more people and having greater impact across your region. Today, we know that churches over 1,000, around 1,000 is when churches tend to begin to think and start down the multi-site church path because they're big enough to be able to send out a significant enough people to launch a new location without it sinking the sending church. And so now about 60% of churches over 1,000, and that's a growing number, are now multi-siting. And so this has become a new normal for healthy, growing churches. And but I really like to say this movement really began way back in the 70s, 80s, when there was this really radical idea when I started out as a new pastor in that day. I'm really old. And so, it was this idea of being multiple services. And, you know, from about 1975 or 80, America went to church at 9:30 Sunday school and 11 o'clock worship. That was the standard across the board. And
that was the old normal.
That was the old normal.
The old normal.
So, but then some churches began to grow, and we didn't have a lot of big churches. You know, maybe a few hundred people maybe would be a big church in that day. And no, there's always a few exceptions. Everything I'm going to say to you, there's always an exception. But that was the general flow. Churches just weren't that big. And so, but then they began to really grow, as some churches did in that end of the last century, 80s, 90s. And so we have these pastors, they have a full sanctuary of 500 seats, and it's full, and it's sitting empty at 9:30. And thinking, well, you know, we're full here, we're empty there. What if we have two services? Well, I'm telling you, there was more pushback about that idea, that concept, than multi-site when it came out, you know, later. But many churches started down that path. And then there was an idea of maybe we got two services, how about three services? And then, and some churches started to take off. They started to grow. Yeah. And then the idea came, a really radical idea. Hey, what about Saturday night? We could use the church on Saturday night. And that was very radical and very suspected. Like, we can't do church. That's not biblical. It's not on Sunday. You know,
it's gotta be Sunday.
But some churches did that. And I went through all these stages in my church in Colorado in the 90s. Mm. And we had multiple services, multiple days, Saturday. And then we said, hey, we got a fellowship hall down in the basement. We could make that a closed circuit TV. It was before video and all that. It was a really bad experience, but we did it and people did it. And so, so you went from multiple services to multiple days to multiple rooms on your one location. It was inevitable. As the technology evolved, that we'd do multiple locations. And so this movement really began about 50 years ago with going from one service to two. And that opened up a whole new way of thinking.
So, you know, obviously if somebody's saying about going multi-campus, you get on your whiteboard, put the pros and the cons, right? The positives and the negatives. What's, in your opinion, between church planting versus multi-site, what's the benefits or pros or cons? There's, you know, what's your thoughts on that when it comes to church planting?
Well, I'm a part of the exponential faculty that for 10 or plus or more years, I've been teaching with a team of others on church multiplication through multi-site and mergers. But with exponential being the largest gathering of church planters on the planet, all about planting churches. And so 5,000 people every year for 19 years now. And every year is half the people, 50% of them are brand new. So I'm a big advocate for church planting and multi-siting. I'm a part of both of those movements. And there's been a huge movement of a new kind of church plants that actually survive, you know, have a higher success rate because we've been a lot more intentional. I say all of it to say, at the end of the day, whether you're a multi-site campus or a church plant, as far as the community that those congregations are in, they don't know the difference between a multi-site and a church plant. It's a church because a multi-site campus is a fully functioning local congregation. How it got there, how it's governed, maybe the sermons are delivered, video or live, is almost irrelevant to the local community. If it's making a difference in the community and if people are gathering, you know, for weekly services and all the things that come along with a local church, it's a church. And so, but they have two different pathways to become a local congregation in a community. And I'm for both.
Yeah.
But multi-siting is all about reproducing my church. Church planting is reproducing my kind of church. And that's what denominations have done for, you know, centuries. Any denomination, they're not all exactly the same, but they have some common doctrine, legacy, traditions, and things that they... that you can see reflected in those, but they can vary from one to the other. But a multi-site church model, in its purest model, and I think in its most effective model, this is not our kind of church. This is our church. Jason, I'll explain it this way a little further. Usually, when churches bring me in, I was just in a church in L.A. this weekend, and with an Asian American church that's grown to about 2,500 people. Incredible, just taking off. And they have one Saturday night and two Sunday morning services. Again, new normal. About, at the end of the decade last century, any healthy growing church is going to do multiple services. And so today we're seeing any healthy church is going to do eventually multiple campuses. And that's what they're at now. They're one location, but three services. And so I say to them, all right, you have a Saturday night and two Sunday mornings. Are they all the same? Do they all feel the same? No, they all feel different. But are you three churches or are you one? And they'll say, well, we're one. And well, what makes you one? Well, we have one senior leader. We have one board, you know, of the elders. We have one staff. I said, do each service get to keep its income, its offerings? No, it all goes to one central bank. I said, well, now they're looking at starting at another location in the next town over in next year. And that's what I was there to help them think through. And I said, when you start that other location, just think of that as your fourth service. The only thing different strategically is it's a different geography, but everything else is the same as your three services on one site. And I think, okay, I get it. So we're one church, multiple locations, that's multi-site, but with one central leadership and one budget. That's what makes multi-site multi-site.
When do churches, when do you think they get the nudge or the Lord's leading them to become multi-site? Like, when does that happen, or at what point does that happen, or is there any metrics there that they should be considering?
Well, I'm not sure they're doing metrics, except the fact that churches that go multi-site or that should go multi-site are growing churches. They're healthy churches. They're not perfect, but they're healthy, growing churches. This is a healthy church strategy. This is not a turnaround strategy. So if you're in decline or if you're not seeing new people come in, well, let's go start a multi-site campus. Well, multi-site is all about reproducing and multiplying who and what you are. And so if you're a stuffed church or declining church, you're not reaching people, that's what you're going to multiply, reproduce somewhere else.
Right. And so it's a waste of money.
But what we've seen is that around 1,000 in attendance is when churches begin down the multi-site path. And so it's not necessarily saying when we get to 1,000, we'll do multi-site. It's more like, and I always tell churches, before you multi-site, just make sure you're fully maximizing your current location. Are you doing multiple services? No, we're all doing one. Well, then do as many as you can, at least two on Sunday morning. Some will do Saturday night. Some will do three Sunday morning. But then are you fully utilizing any other rooms on your campus? Is there a fellowship hall or a student center or something that you could use on Sundays as a video venue? Not an overflow room, but as an alternative room, where you might offer a little different atmosphere or whatever, but everything else is just, the sermon is the same, et cetera. And then, of course, the Saturday night, that's another option for you. I like to say you want to be 11 months pregnant before you birth a multi-site campus.
Yeah.
You want to be, listen, if you
bust at the seams kind of a thing, yeah.
And if you can't reproduce yourself in two or three services, if you can't reproduce yourself in another room on your own one campus, then that's how you learn, how you begin to learn how to become reproducing yourself. And to do that, it takes a pipeline of volunteers and leaders that you're developing. All that sets you up really well to reproduce that in another geographical location.
What are some of the biggest mistakes churches make when they're going multi-site?
They go too soon. For example, this church I was working with, they've had explosive growth, and they're well funded. They've got people are really giving to them. So money and numbers of people is not the issue, but their growth is really exceeded their structure and their systems. And so on fire senior pastor wants to launch a campus like January of next year, and I'm thinking maybe a year from January next year you'll be ready, because you've got to really strengthen your base. They've got the number. They got all the right components going in the right direction in terms of their it's a multi-generation, a lot of children, a lot of teenage kids, there's older adults. They have all that. They have well-funded and all that. They just don't have the structures and systems. And to get simple church, you got to keep things simple the bigger you get. And so they have a lot of complexity that's not necessary. So that's going to take it usually takes about a year from when a church contacts me to say, we'd like to start down this path. And it's usually about 12 to 18 months before you're ready.
So rushing, that's obviously a problem. So when you say a church is running about 1,000, I guess it's more obviously what's the Spirit telling you to do. But if you're getting that sort of that busting at the seams, depends on how big your room is in there. I'm sure all those factors play into it. But you really should be thinking about like in the next 2 years kind of a thing, right? Not, hey, next by Easter, it's August. By Easter, we need to have a whole nother campus up and running. That's not a good strategy.
Yes. I think another mistake that multi-site churches make, and that is that they appoint the wrong kind of leader, what we call a campus pastor, at those sites.
Mm.
I think in the early days of the multi-site movement, when, you know, and it was with the mega churches that have strong leaders, senior pastors, and strong communicators. And so the video model was the predominant one, and it still is, even though they're not everyone does that. There was this mindset, hey, we have a great leader already. He's grown our church, this church, to several thousand people. He's a great communicator because that's, or the team is a great communicating team because that's how you draw people in, one of the ways. And we're just going to deliver the message by way of video. And so we don't need a leader. We don't need a teacher at the site. We just need someone who will love the local people and push play. Let us speak. Push the video play, you know.
Yeah.
And very quickly we realize, no, it takes a leader to grow a local congregation. You may give them a lot of the great assets and resources that that sending church is bringing to that table, but you need a local leader who will mobilize people, turn followers into volunteers, volunteers into leaders, who can help go get to multiple services and all that kind of stuff. That takes a leader, not just
they have to be a high capacity galvanizer, not necessarily a visionary leader, right? The senior leader is typically the visionary leader, but they have to be able to galvanize people.
They have to implement the leader's vision. And so this is the difference in a church plant. Is a church planter might say, hey, I love your vision, you know, church, but I don't want to do it your way. I have a different vision. That person should go be a church planter. But the ideal campus pastor is someone who has, and we've done the surveys, what's an effective campus pastor? Two things. They are a big, strong leader that people follow, and they also have the DNA of your church. They believe in the mission and the vision. When I was at Willow Creek, we used to say campus pastors that we appoint have to, when you cut them, they bleed willow. That doesn't mean they're not leaders. They just have chosen, I'd rather be on a winning team than be a team owner. I'd rather be a team player than a team owner. And which is better? Both are better. We need both. And I'm a fan for both. But once a person understands, I'm not wired to be a team player. I'm really wired to, I got to go do this myself and have a way of doing church. And thank God for those people, because every church we have today that started new had someone who had a vision for what church could be. And your church, Jason, was one of those churches, you know?
Yeah.
And so that's a bit, the most important decision going multi-site is the local campus pastor decision.
Can I ask about location and proximity? I've seen more and more now churches that are launching campuses like across states. So church in Colorado has a campus in Austin, Texas, you know, versus I have also seen a church launch a campus that was actually ended up in the long run being too close by and ended up having to fold that second campus because the proximity was just, they were almost competing with each other. They were too near each other. Can you talk about how you would coach churches on how to decide where to be?
But this movement's been around long enough that we have a lot of best practices. I like to say to churches, you know, in the early days, there's a lot of ways to do multi-site. There are a lot of ways that people are playing with do multi-site, but I want to share with you, here are the best ways to do multi-site.
Yeah.
And one of those is where do you launch campuses? In all of our surveys, in all of our experience, the sweet spot is between 15 and 30 minutes from the sending campus. Usually right around 20 minutes is the ideal place. Now, here's the reason why. The vast majority of people who in every church in America and even outside of the U.S., in terms of any place that's more westernized with automobiles and all that, that the majority of the people who attend your church live within 15-minute drive. We're talking anywhere from about 60 to 75% of the people who attend a local church live within 15 minutes. Yeah. And the other 15 to 30% are between 15 and 30 minutes. Very few people are going to drive more than 30 minutes to a church.
Right.
Unless you're in a very rural area and there's not a lot of options. And so we know that the people who are the most involved in a local church and those who serve, and then those who serve tend to be those who give. They come from the 15-minute perimeter around your church because they can be involved and engaged in the training and other things that come along with involvement because it's only 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 5 minutes away. But when you, so they tend to be the participators, the people in the 15 to 30 range, minute range, tend to be more spectators. Not because they want to be, but just because it's just not easy to get to them, especially in a dense place like LA during the week.
Oh, yeah.
So, or Phoenix, like where you guys, let's see, are you still there, Jason, in Phoenix?
Yeah, I'm in Phoenix, Gilbert.
So in the starting with churches, and the other thing that's made multi-site so effective and so successful is that you're not going to the next town 20 minutes away, you're already there. So the first thing that we do when we start thinking down that path, we do a heat map of where a heat map of your database. Where are all of our people that are attending our church or who have some connection with our church who filled out at least a name card at one time or another or gave a donation or whatever? Where are they? And so when we look at all these pockets of people around that 15 to 30 minute range around your church, that's where you go. That's where you start because you're not sending people there. They're already there.
Yeah.
They already know and love your church and have the DNA of your church. And so that's the obvious place to go. That's what a church planter does not have. You know, the Apostle Paul said, I want to go where no man's gone before. I want to go to the farthest extensions of the Roman Empire. And thank God for those kind of people who were pioneers. But it's just the opposite for multi-site launches. You're going where you have a base. Now, after you get that low-hanging fruit of three or four campuses in your region, and this is where the internet and the online campus helps, and this has dramatically changed since COVID. In COVID, anybody who was debating whether multi-site on sermons on video and all that, or even the multi-site model, there was a question mark. During COVID, every church in America was a multi-site church. They had an on-site campus that some were open, some weren't, but they were online too. And so that concept, that argument sort of just died after COVID in terms of, does it work? Yes, you know. But it also, churches now are not limited to 30 minutes, 60 minutes around themselves. You know, they can be all over the world.
That's right.
Most people online are within 60 minutes or so who watch you from what our surveys have shown.
Yeah.
We're always watching who's watching us. But smart churches today have realized that online, that's one of the talking points, online is the new front door to the church.
Yeah.
People are going to check you out there first. And it's not limited to geography. And so when you've got some really dynamic communicators and a vibrant church ministry that's, you know, that they're experiencing online. Life Church for years had way ahead of the game. They would have 3,000 people in another city in America that was watching them. So they'd just go and meet with them. Or they would be invited. Could you guys come launch a campus here? And so now we're not bound by geography, but we certainly still leverage it, at least in the early stages of getting two or three local campuses. Now, I think the vast majority of churches will, and only about 25% of multi-site churches go beyond three locations.
Mm.
And that's okay. Others will, because again, that's the low-hanging fruit. It's like offering two or three service times. Now that's what we're saying, it's the new normal. Now, those kind of churches are going to do at least two or three locations.
Well, I think it's the hardest is going from one to two, maybe two to three. But once you go to four, five, and six, it's like a piece of cake.
The hardest is one to two because it's unknown.
It's hard.
And now very few get beyond four locations or three locations. Yeah. You know, three. I'm talking about three, including the sin original. But that fourth location forces you to make some structural changes. And many churches aren't willing to do that.
Yeah.
But those who are willing to say, we have to reorganize to support four. But one to three is one phase.
Yeah.
4 to 10 is the next one. And then 10 plus is another one. And we have
a whole other level.
And you got to keep constantly restructuring to support a growing multi-site model. But many are like, I don't want to pay that price. We're just comfortable being a local church in our greater county or town or city or whatever. And that's fine. But some will go beyond that. Go ahead.
Well, what kind of advice do you have for communications director's when they're getting ready to go multi-site, they're already multi-site. What are there any nuggets of wisdom that you could share for people like us?
Well, again, I think we've seen a correlation that the growing churches and post-COVID, there's about 20% of the churches in America that are experiencing dramatic growth. I mean, what's considered a growing church is 5% a year.
Right.
They're in 15, 20, 25%, you know, year, 2-3 years in a row. And the larger churches are getting a bigger percentage of the total church attendance.
Yeah.
You have to realize that the average church in America today is 65 people.
Yeah.
And there's 320,000 Protestant churches. So you asked a question about how does the communication piece fit in this? I think every church today that's growing has to have a point person on the staff that's managing communications. But their website, just keeping things current there, information there, and not just static, but engaging website. They have to be, then there's the whole social media, getting our message out. You know, there's a correlation between the growing churches in America. As they're growing on site, I call it, they also are growing online. And the churches that are in decline are declining in both. So there's a correlation. What we're still trying to figure out, Jason and Bart, is that what is the correlation? Is it if you want to grow on site, do you have twice as many online? Some do. Some have three times as many. But some other growing churches have, it's one-to-one. You know, we have 2,000 people in the room and we have 2,000 people online. Some will have less. My church that I just came from, they had less, but they weren't even working it. You know, they just getting their sermon out, basically. And but all of those though, whatever it is, and we're trying to figure out what's the right ratio, which feeds online, in my opinion, clearly feeds into on site because people are going to visit your church 2-3 times online.
That's right.
And so so if you want to grow your on site, you need to grow your online presence, and it needs to be a high quality experience online.
Yeah.
And you got to up that game. And this is what I know you guys do so well, helping churches get there, and then leveraging social media. We also know the whole geo-targeting now has been revolutionized.
Yeah.
And not just advertising to our church members and family, you know, that we're going to start a campus in the next town and newsletters and billboards. But now we can send, as you know, Facebook messages to people who would be good candidates, values-wise, et cetera, to, you know, come visit our new church opening. And so all the communications is a huge player now in local churches.
Yeah, you have I could just talk for an hour on the things I learned going from one campus to Duke campus. It was good. It was a hot mess for me at the time, but I learned a lot. So I love to teach.
Well, and I love what you guys do at Missional Marketing because you're really helping churches leverage the strengths they already have. They're communicators. Their message as a church, their things that they're doing and offering and getting that word out. And, you know, again, everybody goes to a website or to social media before they actually go on site, whether it's buying a car, taking a vacation, even dating, you know. Yeah. So progressive, future-oriented, forward-thinking church leaders for centuries have always embraced the latest technology as a way to extend the gospel, reach more people. Now, all those things can be abused, et cetera. But we know the printing press was the Reformation spread on the wheels of the printing press. And even then, there were people saying, if it's not a handwritten transcription of the Bible, then the printing press is not, that's a wrong way to get the Bible out.
I'm glad we didn't stick with that.
Yeah. But we're all grateful for the adaptation of air conditioning in the church building, right? Especially those of us in Texas and Arizona.
But communications has been the new frontier, and there's so many opportunities with it, and to not take advantage of it. And what I love about what you guys is that churches don't have to hire a lot of staff. They need some staff, but they can do a lot of this. You guys can do this kind of stuff for them at a reasonable price, and you're going to stay on top of it, you know, because this is your world where a church sometimes can get distracted with other things, even the communication theme.
Well, I have one more question, then we probably need to land the plane, but I want to go to the second bullet, and I was this probably a big conversation, but you have small is the new big. So it just briefly explain what you mean by that.
Well, the end of the last century was the beginning of it, the mega church movement began, where you had gifted communicators and leaders, and there was this sense of, we just got to get as big as we can.
Yeah.
But we've learned that we can get too big in terms of a physical building.
Yeah.
That they can get to a point, you build too big, expand too big, and it becomes unsustainable. When that pastor leaves or the community around you changes. Now, mega churches are getting bigger in terms of numbers of people, but buildings, mega buildings, are getting smaller. And if you have a multi-site church strategy, you don't need a mega building. And the biggest obstacle for churches in going multi-site to overcome, what slows them down more than anything else, is finding a facility, a place to meet, or being able to afford a facility where right. they want to be in. And so the nice thing about the multi-site model is that you don't need a big mega building, so it's not going to cost as much. Again, I like to say somewhere between 10 to 30,000 square feet. Now, you talk about mega campuses, they're in 100 to 200,000 square feet. You don't need a mega campus if you're multi-siting. And you do 10 to 30,000 square feet with 400 to 600 seats is an ideal size. And then the corresponding children and good community meeting space where you're having time to hang out with each other in the lobby and space to do that. And parking. That's all you need. And you don't have to have offices there. You can offer somewhere else, all that sort of thing. But that's a whole lot less expensive. And you could grow to a thousand or a couple thousand people. I had this church, I'm in LA. They have 900 seats in a warehouse in three different rooms. The largest room is 600 seats. Then a video venue of 300 and another one, 100 seats. And so they have 2,000 plus people attending. Now, that's just the original campus. And they're thinking, do we need to get bigger? I said, no, don't get bigger. Just add more rooms or
more locations.
and that's what they're doing. That's what they want to do. And let's fully activate. Let's fully maximize the current building you're at now. And there's some ways they could get a little better at that. And so we're working on that. But so you asked, so small is the new big. And that's liberating to not have to have big buildings to extend your reach and your impact.
A lot more cost effective too.
Lots of cars, yes.
And you know what? It feels better too when you walk around. You know people. You actually can see people. Like, hey, how's it going? Because you're not in a,
absolutely.
You're not a willow where there's like what 9,000.
Well, you know, the biggest resistance to the doing multiple services back in the last century in the 80s was if we go to two services on Sunday morning, we won't know everybody. And that was a big issue. And I still hear some of that sometimes about, you know, a church too big and all that, or multiple services or multiple locations, but not so much. Now, what else was I going to say about okay. I think I had another thought about this.
Well, I think there's something to that. And I think about going back to the communications and just the idea that you don't have to overthink it. If you're going multi-site, it is. If you have another worship center, it's got like 300 or 400 seats. You know, you just relieved room from your current facility that's busting at the seams to move people there. So it's a win-win on both sides of it.
Yeah, when you have an auditorium of 400 seats or whatever, it doesn't. It's the experience of church corporately together. Man, you want to feel like there's good energy in the room. If you've got 300 people meeting in an auditorium of 1,000, that it feels half empty.
It's empty. Yeah.
But if you've got 300 meeting in a room of 600 seats, or even 200 people, it feels high energy. It feels exciting. Yeah. There's something happening here. And so small is the new big. You don't need big rooms. And they're hard to fill up in the middle of the summer and all that kind of stuff. Maybe Christmas and Easter is a good day to have a big room. But but we also know, too, Bart, you talked about mergers. 40%, more than 40% now of all multi-site campuses, facilities are coming by way of a merger. Buildings are so expensive, even smaller ones, even the ones I just described, they're not cheap. And and there's a lot of work you have to do. More and more churches are seeing the value of churches that they're all across the country, there's 320,000 Protestant churches. Yeah. 20% of them are in serious trouble. Yeah. About 60% are stuck. So you got struggling, you got stuck, but about another 20%, 25 are strong, they're growing. Those strong growing churches, they are out of room and out of space and looking for space. Other churches are in decline. Many times they're looking for a pastor. We have empty buildings. You need space. We need a pastor. We need a reinfusion of life in our church. For the struggling churches, they need a rebirth. They can get that by joining with a strong church. Other churches are stuck. They need a revitalization. They can be revitalized by joining with another strong church. And then strong churches benefit, of course, because this is a way to expand and reach more people. It's a huge win-win. And this is why this is growing across the country. And so the church merger strategy.
We probably need to land this plane. I would love us to jump on another episode and talk about the idea of mergers and just give some advice and counsel on that. Because I have a lot of questions on that. Because of what you just said, that whole 20-20-60, what's going on there. So let's plan on jumping on again and doing a part two.
maybe this is a 10-part Siri update.
It could be. Jim, thank you so much for hanging out with us today. Jim and Jason, it's been a lot of fun. For those of you who are listening or watching this on our YouTube channel, thanks for making it all the way through. We hope that you found the content to be helpful. Just a reminder that if you haven't ever subscribed to our podcast, wherever you're listening or wherever you're watching, make sure that you do that so you don't miss any future episodes. And if you found this episode to be helpful, it would be great for you to share it with a friend, share it with a ministry colleague who might be able to benefit from it. If you want to learn more about Jim or connect with Jim, you can check our show notes. We'll have a few different links and places that you can learn more about the books that he's written or just reach out to him. Maybe you and your church could use a consultant on your plans for expansion and multi-site or even mergers. So I'm sure that Jim would be grateful for the opportunity to connect with any of you out there who are in need of that kind of help. On behalf of Jim Tomberlin and Jason Hamrock, I'm Bart Blair, and this has been another episode of the Missional Marketing Podcast.
This podcast is a production of Missional Marketing. Our goal is to help churches grow by leveraging digital marketing and effective communications. For more information, visit our website at missionalmarketing.com.